So, how did you get on with coming up with your own definition of life coaching? You know, it's important to understand that I'm not going to be giving you any quizzes throughout this course that you can get right or that you can get wrong. All I'm really intending on doing is sharing as many different resources, models, techniques, tools, principles that you can take, adopt into your own life in view of applying in any which way you choose to. It's important to understand that when life coaching or if you're practicing counselling or neuro-linguistic programming, many of the frameworks and models that I'm going to be sharing with you throughout this course are all stemming from these various disciplines. Anyway, what you might say is that I'm quite well studied. In this video, what I would really like to do is just bring to your awareness three of the main different learning styles. Now, it's important that you understand this because on one level, it's going to impact and influence how much you do or don't get from this course. And then on another level, it's also going to impact and influence how other people on into the future get what they get from you. Because the three main learning styles are people who learn primarily through visual. Now, if you're watching this course right now, you're perhaps a visual learner. You might like seeing lots of different stuff on the board behind me. You might like some of the stock video footage and the little illustrations and all that cool stuff. And then there's going to be some people who are just going to be happy listening to the MP3 audio downloads, which are incidentally also available in the additional material section of each video lecture. There are some people who learn through the feelings that they attach or that come attached to different principles or life lessons or so on and so forth. Which leads me on to the first metaphoric story that I'm going to share with you in the course. Now, before I tell you the story, I would just like to help you to understand that whilst you might love this story, there's going to be other people in the world who, as I start telling this story, will start getting frustrated. All right, and there's a pretty good chance that at some point in the future, I'll even receive some hate mail. Kane, you tell too many stories in this course. And people who complain about stories, it's not because they're bad people or haters of stories, it's just that the learning style is going to be more perhaps visual or auditory. So as life coaches, what I'm going to encourage you to become completely aware of is what your main and preferred learning style is. Because if you can understand this, then it's going to help you to, on one level, overcome any preferences or bias that you have towards anything that I say or anything that I do or anything that pops up on the screen before you. And then on another level, it's going to help you to understand and relate better to other people. As you become more balanced in your learning, you become more able to empathically relate to the learning preferences of other people, which will therefore allow you to adapt and adjust your teaching or communication style for them. Because remember, I've already said that in life, when it comes to coaching people, it's sometimes not what we say, it's sometimes how we say what we say through the use of our tonality, language, body language, verbal, non-verbal language patterns. And I'm going to be covering all of this with you later on throughout the lighter sections of the course. But for now, I'm going to get back to the metaphor. Because this metaphor, I'm hoping that if you come with me on this journey, you're going to be able to see what I see through listening to what I'm saying through a story. Now, what's the purpose of life coaching? Yes, I've already written the definition on the board, and now you should hopefully have your own handcrafted definition in the workbook that you downloaded in the last video. But this story that I'm about to share with you shares off a conversation that was once going up in the heavenlies. That's right, up in the heavens, the gods were having this convention. Because they had this little problem, you see. Now, for decades, centuries, millennia, the gods had this power, the power of the knowledge of truth. And the gods knew what it meant to be human. What the gods had become aware of was that as the human race were evolving scientifically, technologically, they were becoming more aware of what it meant to be human through the advancing sciences such as psychology, sociology, philosophy, life coaching, NLP, all these sorts of things. And the gods had begun to become a little bit concerned that the human race might actually discover the truth of what it actually means to be human. Because if the human race was to discover this truth, this would actually put them on a par with the gods. And if the humans became the same as the gods, then the gods would lose their power. So they didn't want this. So the purpose of this debate, this conversation the gods were having, was to discuss a practical solution on where it would be that they could hide their truths, so the human race wouldn't find them. So amidst the debate, the discussion, one of the gods put his hand up in the air and says, "Yes, I'm the god of the oceans. I propose they would take these truths of what it means to be human and bury them down at the depths of the deepest ocean." Because the humans haven't yet developed a submarine or any kind of diving apparatus that would enable them to find them there. And the gods seemed to be in agreement, until the littlest god, the smallest god in the crowd, stepped forward and he said, "Sorry guys, excuse me, listen, that's a fantastic idea, but listen, we've already established that the human race is evolving scientifically and technologically at such a phenomenal rate, it's only the matter of a couple of years before the humans develop some sort of diving, breathing apparatus that's going to enable them to survive at the depths of the deepest ocean. And if they do, then they stand to potentially discover and uncover our truths, which means it's game over, Red Rover, for us, and we don't want that." And the gods again were in agreement. So it was back to the drawing board, and there was some ideas getting branded around here and there, until one of the gods put his hand up and he said, "Yes, I'm the god of the mountains. I propose that we take this truth of what it means to be human, up to the peaks of the highest mountain and bury it underneath a couple of feet of ice and snow, because the human race can't even survive up there." And the gods said, "Yeah, that's a fantastic idea, it's a great idea, let's do it." Until, again, the littlest god stepped forward and said, "Listen, guys, come on, please. We've already established that the human race is evolving scientifically and technologically at such a phenomenal rate. It's only a matter of a number of years before they develop some sort of climbing, breathing apparatus that's going to enable them to survive up there. And if they can survive up there, guess what? They're going to uncover our truths, and then we lose our influence." And again, the gods were back to the drawing board, and between them, for the life of them, they couldn't come up with a practical solution on where to hide these truths. Until it just became a heated squabble, an argument, a debate, at which point the chief god, he banged his staff on the floor and he said, "Silence! Does anyone have a practical solution or a proposal on where it is that we can hide these truths somewhere that the human race won't think to look for them?" And then the littlest god stepped forward and he said, "Yep, I've got an idea. I've got a proposal on where we could hide these truths. Because for centuries, the human race has been looking in the textbooks, have been looking out at space, have been looking at biology and the atom. How about we just hide the truth of what it is to be human inside of the human race? Because they're so busy looking outside of themselves for all these answers, they'll never think about looking for the truths of life there." Ho, 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 ho. The truths of life. Now, I've told you this story, and some people in the world would say, "Oh, Cain, get on with it. That story was too long for my liking." And that's not because I tell a bad story, it's not because I'm a bad communicator, it's just because you have a different learning style than other people. So if you're frustrated right now, then this is why. Your learning style is most likely going to be visual or auditory. The purpose of me telling this story in this video at this stage of the course is, on one level, just introduce you to one method of communicating, where what I haven't told you here is that all the answers that you're looking for are within you. Now, if I'd said that right back at the start of the video, you would have said, "Yes, that's true, thanks for telling me that, Cain." But now, through telling a story is a practical means by which we can actually illustrate and show people exactly what we mean visually as they reflect upon the story inside of themselves. Now, On the second level, all right, this story represents another truth, which kind of ties in with more of the principles and the core beliefs that I shared with you a few videos ago. And this is that, you know, people fundamentally have all the resources that they need to overcome any challenge or any obstacle at any given moment in time. The only problem that people have is that they just genuinely believe that they don't. So this one story can be really used to illustrate that core foundational belief. But if you think about it, have you ever had a conversation with someone at any point in the past about beliefs? There's some people out there that, you know, believe in God, there's some people out there who are atheists, some people believe in the local football team, some people believe in aliens and all these sorts of things. Now, when you step out life coaching, all right, you're going to be coming up against all people's different beliefs all of the time. And when you address someone's beliefs, guess what you're actually, or what you might be perceived as attacking? The core foundations on which they're building their lives. And you know, when it comes to being human and growing up, the only thing that we can ever grow up out of in life are the limiting beliefs that we developed about ourselves at some point in the past as children. Growing up in life means growing in maturity, growing in decisiveness, growing in consistency, and growing in strength. As we become slightly more clear on who it is that we are, and exactly what it is that we're capable of achieving. Now, I do appreciate that all of this might sound quite ambiguous and vague right now. I'm not saying these things to impress you or motivate you or enthuse you or any of these sorts of things, but just to impress upon you that life coaching sometimes doesn't have to be about having all the answers. Sometimes we can just be artfully vague through telling stories that sometimes is going to be more than enough to give someone a little flicker of inspiration or hope in view of taking the first few steps that they need to take to overcome their problems for themselves. So that's all for this video, and I've got something really fascinating, well, I hope you're going to find fascinating, to share with you in the next.